A63, number 20A.
Come to the second statement of the Lord's Prayer. And there we see what? How does that fit into the second tone? What does it say? Yes, hallowed be thy name. You know, they couldn't hear you on the tape. Yeah, adorable one. Yes, here you have, as has been said before, really, now the attitude towards the first one. You first have that statement that our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. So you have a statement there in mind. And now what do we do with that statement as a prayerful attitude? You really get here that epitome of that whole sense of worshipping the one God. Huh? Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So that it is a hallowed be thy name. Well, hallowed be thy name naturally means much more than that you shouldn't curse in the name of God or things like that. But that it is an attitude which says this, what the first statement has presented, this I keep really holy, this I keep really apart from anything else, this I value without, above anything. I expect from that statement or from that attitude everything. It's really hallowed be thy name. It's really you know better what than I can express it. It's the whole worship of it, adorable one. Yes, but this is naturally an inner attitude. We come to the next statement, of the third. What does that mean? Yes. Nobody knows the Lord's Prayer, apparently. Yes. Thy kingdom come. Yes. No. Thy kingdom is come. Huh? Can you
say that here?
Yeah. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. See these. Interpretation that Mrs. Eddy gives of the Lord's Prayer naturally infuriates theology, because they say Mrs. Eddy distorts the Lord's Prayer. Instead of begging God, thy kingdom come, Mrs. Eddy makes out of that begging state an isn't state and says thy kingdom is come. And this naturally is quite different. One must admit, you see, that Mrs. Eddy's interpretation is different from the religious sense. But we naturally know why, because she lifts it out of that age of religious sentiment into the present day, and therefore can see that always to say thy kingdom come is always pushing the fulfillment into the future and never into the present. See? And therefore, the dominant we have here in the Lord's Prayer, we have said, is the factuality, the isness sense of being. Therefore, it would be wrong. Can you see? The tonality would be wrong if she would have left it at that point and say, yes, thy kingdom come. It would be a future tense and not a present tense. Therefore, it would not have the sense of science, which is at the point of being. So she had to translate it really into the being sense. What is soul here? Yes? Emma? Yes?
The rule of soul.
The rule of soul? Uh-huh. Yes? Mm-hmm. What do the other one feel? Yes?
Spiritual understanding.
Kingdom is knowledge. Uh huh. Thy kingdom is come. Yes. Uh huh. It's right here. Uh-huh. Yes. All right. The rule of soul is right here. Huh? Yes. It rules now, and the master is here. Yes, it masters the situation, so we accept already that the kingdom or the rule of soul is already established. Can you hear up to now how Mrs. Eddy puts everything into that being sense, so that it has the tonality of the word of science? Huh? Our Father, Mother, God, already at the standpoint of being all harmonious. There's no begging that God may bring harmony. It's no command what we shall do. It's just stating that the beingness of being is established. Adorable One, it's the only one that needs to be considered. Thy kingdom is come. The idea, you see, the earth, the realm of idea, is established. Thou art ever present. Yes. Then when we come to the fourth statement of the Lord's Prayer.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yes. So, does that have the tonality of the word of the Christ? Science, sorry. Huh? Yes. Does it have? No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. See, it will be done. Yeah?
That's not a verb.
It's not a verb. No.
I will. I will.
Yeah. Be done, huh? It's in a hypothetical, yeah? So Mrs. Eddy had to correct it, you see? And that to say, enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent supreme. You see, she takes it right in the present state. Huh? Yeah?
Isn't it already in the present state, though, in the Bible, too?
You judge it. You know your language better than I do, but to me it gives the impression that your will always be done. Huh? It has a... Doesn't it have a time sense in it? It's not the present tense in it. It says, yes, you can be quite sure that the will be done. I mean, there is no doubt about it, but it will be done. Whereas what Mrs. Eddy says, well, it's not a question if the will be done. It is already present. Yes? It's a subjunctive. Not really as a subject.
No, it's simply the prayer, may it be done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wish.
No, be done. Go out.
Yeah, go out and do it. Huh?
No.
So for you it's an imperative.
It implies that it's not in on earth as it now is.
Yes. So it isn't really a present state of things. Huh? You wouldn't feel that way, or?
If it were the present, present indicative mode, it would not use the word be. It would have to be are, is, or am,
yeah,
or were, or you know, in the past, if you had it in the past. But whenever you break the infinitive like that from be, because subjunctive or imperative are very close in English. Whenever you use those forms, they're very limited in English. We don't have a full subjunctive. And the mode, the indicative mode almost takes over in every place, but the B is the clue, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if it would be present, the prayer would say, thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. Huh? So that would be the science sense of it. Huh? Yeah. So apparently this is not quite the tonality. And that's why Mrs. Eddy, like in the third, you see, thy kingdom come is a future tense or a future expectation, let's say that way. And so she takes everything into the present. Yeah. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Why has it the tone of principle? Yeah, it's the government, you see, the divine will, the government, huh? Yes. is the omnipotent, the government, yes, at the sense of principle. He governs. He governs right here and now in heaven and in earth. Yeah. Then we come to the fifth statement. How does that run, the fifth statement prayer?
Give us this day our
daily bread. Yes, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, so is there a difference again between the biblical and her interpretation? It uses the same tense, give us, huh?
It's like a prayer for not a present. Give us grace.
Yes, yes. So give us this day our daily bread, yes. But I think that's, she finds somehow a way to make it present this day, huh? And actually she must use a bit religious and wording, but in order to make it not too much the future, says this day. So both the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's are actually the isness sense. Why is it life?
It gives a sense of self-sustaining,
life is self-sustaining, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It would be feed the family affections for the circle of life, where you always go to mind and then to spirit and then to soul. And that would be feeding the famished affections for the spiritual.
Yes.
That's where I take it, yes.
The Father gives. The Father gives, yes. Feeds, huh? Life feeds constantly. Yeah. What about grace? Give us grace for today. Yeah.
Bread likened unto the bread of life?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the feeding.
Give us grace that the famished affections would be spiritual food of life. She's just clarifying this bread, which is really the bread of life.
Yes.
Jesus referred to. And she's clarifying it from bread to the pure grace, which is really the true spiritual food.
Yes. Yes. That's all right, yes. And we are asking, what does grace mean?
The gift of God, really, it's a pure sense, it's a spiritual sense.
Yes.
The effective working of God within us.
That's grace. Is that from a definition?
Yeah, for sure, that's it.
It sounds familiar. Yes. Yes. When do we speak about grace? When do we speak about grace? In contrast to what? Yes. Yeah. In contrast to? The tilling the soil, of having to earn what is given, huh? Yes? I think that's the point. You see, when I think about life, I have that terrific tone that life gives, without that I have to earn it. That's the whole fundamental point of Paul's theory of Christianity, that we are saved by grace, huh? That by the grace of God we are saved, that we don't have, not through the works of our labors, huh? Not through the law, not through our merits, we are saved, but by grace. Huh? That's from where you have it, the definition from the epistle book. That's his great, the basic of his theory about the new gospel, about the new tidings, that he says, in the Old Testament, you had to keep the law. And therefore, if you didn't keep the law, then woe unto you. You were punished. Whereas now Christ has come and has said, now you can live by grace. God gives you unconditionally. You see, without making a condition. Would you say that's the right term if I say unconditionally? Meaning he doesn't make condition that only under such and such condition he would give you, he would feed you. Whereas the Old Testament had that trading God. The Old Testament God was a trading God who said, if you, Israel, give me something, I'm also giving you something. But if you don't give me something, I'm not giving you something. He was a trader God. Said, if you don't come back to me, then I turn my back on you. But if you come to me, I will also come to you. And that is what Paul could see, that he could see, well, that is the New Testament. See, what is the New Testament? Exactly that the Old Testament was living by the law that said, you have to to earn your way to heaven. You have to earn your way to heaven with sweat and agony and tilling the soil. Whereas the New Testament came and said, you know, God gives you, and that is grace, gives you unconditionally. That's grace. The gift of God, that's grace.
Isn't that the difference between metaphysics, Grainer?
You can also say that is the difference between perhaps a metaphysical activity and endeavor,
Yes.
Crawling up to God, yes, whereas grace is going out from God and just seeing God is life, and therefore gifts, and doesn't ask, did you earn it or didn't you earn it? So again, you have a terrific sense of the fatherhood giving, yes? Then we come to the sixth stage of the Lord's Prayer. What do we get there?
And forgive us our debts
as we forgive our debtors. Has that the tonality of the word as in science? Has it the dominant tone of what we are considering? What must be the dominant? Isness. Has it the sense of isness? You see? Isn't that? Yes, sure. You see? So he had to change it. So the Bible didn't have it, you see. That's what I want to bring out, that the Bible still was somehow in that age where, really, of Christianity, where they felt, God is going to do something good to me. But now we are in the age of science, where we don't say, well, God is going to do something to me good in the future and so on. But where science just states, what is the nature of being? Yes?
Well, part of the problem was that I think that that the tenses that they had in those ancient languages, they couldn't really pin. It's not, some of them didn't even have any tense. It was just one word that was used for whatever.
Yeah.
And I
yes.
think that's in the rendering, too.
Yeah, that's true, Mike, that Hebrew, apparently, I don't know Hebrew, but they say that they didn't have a future tense, for instance. I don't know if they had a past tense, that I don't know. But apparently that has to be the difficulty of the prophets to write a prophecy, because prophecy is everything, had all to do what happens in the future. And they didn't have a future tense.
You don't even, like in Arabic today, and it goes, which is related to Hebrew and hieroglyphics, they don't even express the verb to be under most circumstances. It's just omitted.
Yeah.
And you get it, supposed to get it from context, so that you can see over several thousand years how that could make a lot of
difference. Yes, yeah. So we see that Mrs. Eddy now puts that into our language and says, and love is reflected in love. So that's an isness standpoint. Naturally, you can ask, why has that to do with truth? We are at the point of truth. Isn't that more love? because love is reflected in love. Has that to do with love? That's the truth. Yes. That's the truth. Yeah. Or how could you explain that that has to do with our debts? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How can we solve that question of being indebted? To pay up the whole. Yes. How do we pay up the whole? In a spirit sense, huh? That they are not in, see, that man is not indebted, that man is whole. He's, yeah. And therefore that can be expressed through full reflection, huh? So actually the term that brings out truth here is reflection. Huh? That man is the image and likeness of God, that man reflects the whole of God. Reflection as a state of things, huh? Not as a process, which is spirit, but as a state of thing, is that Mrs. Eddy wants to bring out, well, the perfection of being is already reflected as a state of perfection. It's there, huh? It's therefore showing man is without debt. Huh? He reflects everything that is true. Huh? He reflects perfection. So he is never a debtor. He is never in debt to God. And then we come, yeah?
Going back for a moment to the fifth bread, the bread of love.
Yes?
Also love for the spiritual, as I see it. So that it would be a natural sequence or a natural follow-through that Mrs. Eddy would see, and love is reflected in love.
Yes?
But that love has already been claimed or established in the past bread of life.
Yes?
Love for the spiritual, thing within the God.
Yes, you can see that flow, huh, from the fifth easily, huh, and say, well, if the Father or life constantly gives unconditionally, without holding back, then the outcome of it is that man is never at the point of loss or death. Huh? He has always everything right now. Huh? Therefore, he's reflecting the whole right now.
Did you say loss or love?
Loss.
I said love.
Yes, I understood. But if life gives you unconditionally, you can have no lack, you can have no loss, you can have no debt, huh? Because everything is given to you. Huh? So you can never be a debtor. I can never be in debt. The sixth, huh? He's always whole, huh? And that wholeness is expressed, that wholeness is always at the point of full reflection, huh? Reflection of fullness or of perfection, that's naturally love, huh? Yes? Which brings us to the last statement, seven. What is the seventh here?
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah. Does that have the real dominant? No. Why not, Mary?
Because
we say no without knowing why no.
Because she goes on.
Yeah. No, she doesn't go on. The biblical text is that, as the biblical text, really, the tonality of science. Who wants to answer?
No,
it hasn't. Because why?
A thing in the future, it's not a present.
Yeah, it's a future thing, huh? Being afraid of the future. Peace in the future, do not lead us into temptation. Huh? It's a future tense. Huh? And therefore she has to correct that and put into the present tense. Huh? It says, and God leadeth us not into temptation. Huh? In the present tense. but delivers us from sin, disease, and death. Yes, I have to stop here.